This show furnished by Sid Levine.
Oh, yeah. It's Sid Levine, and this is the Sid Levine Show. How's everybody doing on a kind of rainy, kind of damp Sunday night in Los Angeles? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have another amazing, I mean, this show is an amazing, fantastic show. We've got some amazing, fantastic guests. And we have, of course, the unbelievably sexy and undescribably phenomenal Liz Fuller here.
Woohoo, I'm back, Sid. I missed you.
I was just going to say how wonderful it is that you are back.
I am. 2 weeks without you, Sid.
Oh, my heart goes pitter, pitter, pitter.
Oh, that's super sweet. No, I went to London. I am back. It was a bit of a whirlwind trip.
Oh, wow.
Spent some time in London and it was snowing. And then I spent 4 days in Wales, which I think is the best place on the planet.
Okay.
Obviously, because it's home. And then I came back.
Wow.
And it's raining here. What's going on?
Yeah, this weather is like it is in
Wales.
Wales?
Yes. Although it was snowing back home. So that was really fun. It was great to see all the beaches and the castles. And I had some friends that were visiting with me. So I took them around to some castles. And all the Americans love castles. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yes.
I like, what is it? The castles, the hamburgers.
White Castle.
No idea what that is. What is that?
White Castle is a small, like, hamburger that they sell back east, and it's incredibly, incredibly delicious.
Okay. That's me with all the culture and walking
when you
around
say
castles.
Castle,
you think food.
I think food. Yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah,
all right. So getting to the guests that we have tonight, and they are amazing. We have two strong, intelligent, successful, forceful women here. And, of course, you, Liz.
Well, I'm always strong and forceful.
That's right. All right. First of all, let me introduce you to, actually, I'm in the Flint building at 8484 Wilshire Boulevard. And my neighbor, who we've bumped into each other 1,000 times in the elevator and in the hallway, and she was kind enough to come in to be a guest. She is famous beyond belief in the fashion world, and she has a tremendously successful college. And
thank you.
Her name is Sonia Ette.
Ette,
sorry. And Sonia, why don't you tell everybody really quick here what you actually do? What is this university that you have?
Anyway, beforehand, every time I met you, I thought you're a lawyer.
No.
And hearing you, such amazing how you leading the show.
Oh, thank you.
This is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I'm so excited.
It's very nice.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And I tried to dress nice because I know, you know, fashion.
Oh.
I have to look good.
Well, I did think that jacket was pretty spectacular tonight.
Hey,
this you do look good.
10 years ago was something else.
I give you 5 stars.
5 stars?
Yes.
Oh, my. That's pretty up there high.
Out of five? Well, 10.
Five out of 100?
Perfect 5.
So, again, Sonia, so tell me a little bit about your business, your college.
Yes. I'm a founder and a president of the Beverly Hills Design Institute. Mm-hmm. It was founded 2005. After I came back from Paris study in a haute couture.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like after I learned this education in Europe, something I was missing at, and I feel like rather I was kind of victimized of an education system. So I decided, okay, let me try it. And I was so passionate. My husband, I brought him from Paris. You met Thierry.
Yes.
I call him, he's my souvenir. So he used to be an Eiffel Tower, but we both became an Arc de Triomphe. We got older. We've been married 22 years.
Oh,
going
congratulations.
For 23 years.
That's great.
It's such a blessing. And same time, we are running business. So can you imagine?
Yeah, you're together. Just my wife, Patricia, and I were together for 23 years doing it.
Right.
She retired, but we had a great time doing it together.
Well, beginning it was hard, but really? Now it's amazing. We fell each other, rather it's a mission, and but we still go home, we don't talk each other, you know?
Really?
It was all day we see each other, from morning to all day long. So anyway, another side of it. So we built a fashion college, which it was, I found that from as myself run, study all over the world. Fashion college here in the United States has a lot of issues, which is not relevant to industry. It's because it's not highly specialized. There's a world called design side of it, which is creative. There's a world side of production, and which is making side, we call pattern making. There were every class that school you go to in the United States, they teach you combined. So if you study 2 years, 4 years, you learn halfway pattern making, you learn halfway designing. Mm. So if you graduate it, you go to industry, it's not really what industry wants. At the end, of course, you finger point each other, but when you finger point each other, you know, two finger goes, one finger goes to you, rest four to you, you know?
I would so, get the other finger.
But... Right, right. So we didn't know. We didn't know that. And when I went to study in France, Haute Couture, they were teaching separate. Either you want to be a designer or you want to be a pattern maker. So it was different, you know, the specialization. So, oh my goodness, as a designer, as a pattern maker, there's so much to learn. So my husband and I, we are going to bring a French school, and it didn't happen. They actually took my idea for 3 days of lunch, 3 hours lunch in 3 day trip. Didn't happen in Paris. So we decided to develop on our own. At the end, I found out after 5 years, they took American system and made a lot of money. Diluted their education. And I brought their system in refined and Americanized. And I'm glad I did that. But as a designer or pattern making, it fulfilled a lot of ideas or as a method that they have to learn as a professional. So we refine. 12 years we develop. Now 13 years of college that we are doing it.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It's kind of long introductory, but... I'm passionate with what's going on in industry.
And you've been very, very successful. I've seen lot of students coming
Thanks
in
God,
out of
Thanks God, yes, indeed.
That's congratulations. Thank That's you. Wonderful. All right, so our next guest is a returning guest. I can't see you too well there. There we go. Okay.
There we are.
So I'm not too tall. Vera. Vera, give me your pronunciation of your last name. I want to do it right.
Vera Mahajan.
Mahajan.
Yes.
Mahajan, okay. Vera is a returning guest. Vera has an incredible story of kind of a transformation that is amazing and fantastic, and teaching and helping other women achieve the dream as you're living it right now.
Yes.
And I think it's fantastic. Now, Vera, why don't you talk a little bit about your book that you have?
Well, my book came from my life. It started with that, which I sadly, fortunately, unfortunately, I did go through a lot of experiences which had to deal with domestic abuse from my childhood to my marriage to, you know, the whole culture. And I was in the middle of divorce, but I was... did not want to focus on why it happened like most people do. My focus was, okay, I'm getting a divorce, I'm going to be free, and now what? I got to move forward and have a better life than that. So I needed to figure out, because I was also running a business with my ex like you are, and like you did. But and we did very well in business. But I didn't understand that where and when it became him and us instead of us, like us meaning my children and him. Somehow, well, as we were becoming successful and we were very well known in the community, strong in the community, but somehow he owned us and we were to obey him. And if you didn't obey, we were doing wrong. It's like he knew what was right for us. And people did not understand that somebody as strong and as smart who was running the business. I was the president of the company. He was the CEO of the company. And we had global company and we were doing very well. How could I be going through domestic abuse? Why should I be going through a divorce? And that's where I wanted to know also what happened. How can a woman like me accept that? Because I didn't want to have another life, because that's what a lot of women end up doing, finding the same kind of person over and over. And so that's where I started writing my memoir. So here I'm writing my memoir, analyzing my own life. When did it start? When I started accepting abuse or taking permission from someone else about my life. And the divorce is happening. My memoir is finished. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to end my life at, oh, now she got divorced. Now what? My thing was, okay, I'm going to be free now. I've never lived this free life, what people talk about. Even though I was born in a free country, I lived in a free country, I ran a business, and I was running a home, and my kids are going to private schools. Everything looked perfect on the outside. So how do I live this free life? So anything, if you want to learn, you go and find out from somebody who's done it before. So I started interviewing a lot of people. And so I wanted to interview people who've been through this and who are free now and who are living successful lives. So it's like a how-to book. And so this book is a collage of my stories, collage of statistics, collage of lessons learned, advice, because as you know, hindsight is 20/20. So people gave me a lot of advice, a lot of affirmations, how to improve your life. And so that's where this book, Unreported, came from.
Wow.
Because unreported is a domestic abuse, which nobody talks about till it becomes really bad.
Right.
So it's mostly unreported.
Let me ask you, Liz. Mm-hmm. You've been in business your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty pageant business and the agency business and what have you. Being a woman, being an attractive woman, do you find it more difficult or to be taken seriously, or do you find it equal?
That's a really interesting question. I actually had a business meeting at Soho House on Friday, and the person gave me some knowledge. And then they said to me, now, when you go into that meeting, I don't want you to say what I've just told you. And I looked at that person and said, what makes you think that I would give over some very important information so easy to another person? And they said, they looked at me and said, well, and they got embarrassed. And I know that they looked at me and presumed I was a certain way because I look a certain way. So I think as a woman and a very glamorous woman and an ex-beauty queen, I think I've had to prove myself a lot more than I should have.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I think the working environment has been more difficult for me.
And Vera, what about you?
I can totally tell you stories about this, because I was, even though I was the president of the company, running the company, but still I could not go to meetings by myself sometimes. I needed to take a technical man with me. Or it's just people would right in front of me, they would start talking, isn't she pretty? And I'm like, I'm right here. How are you talking about me? Like, I'm not here. I'm just another girl.
Really?
And they're just talking about a pretty girl, not the president of the company. My own, one time I remember I was talking to the whole company about changing our benefits, insurance benefits and stuff. And our agent used to come twice or three times a year and, you know, change whenever the changes were. And he, across this whole hallway where all my employees are there and I have my own office, and he says, do you keep getting more beautiful every time I see you? And I thought that was so inappropriate to say to a president of a company. But people, they kind of sometimes treated me like I was just a pretty girl.
Jeez. And let me ask you, Sonia, being a businesswoman, a successful businesswoman, have you ever run across that in deals with business deals with men?
Many times. But yes, they do. They kind of making weird, you know, like if I right away I say I'm married.
Oh, yeah. So they hit on you.
Oh, yeah, and beyond that, they think that because you're a woman, you cannot make a deal or anything else. So I listen and I write back and I answer what they wanted to hear.
So they kind of bully you around, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So men just assume that they can do that because they're men.
I think what happens is when a beautiful woman is in a meeting, I think sometimes the man can't separate a girl being beautiful mm-hmm. and him staying professional. And I think it doesn't matter how much we advance with equality. I think beauty is very, very powerful. And at the same time, even though it's held me back or people have the wrong opinion of me, I definitely can have meetings mm-hmm. because of who I am.
Mm, that's interesting.
Yeah. You know, so it's very interesting. I can use it if I want to, but at the same time, it can prevent me at the same time. It's a very powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And I think as you get older, when you're younger, you don't know how to manage it or handle it, and you just get upset by it. But as you get older and wiser, you just know how to use it. And that's a terrible thing to say, but it's the reality.
It is sure. true. And like you said, in the beginning, I used to get really uncomfortable. I remember one guy who had said to me, "Oh, I wish you were wearing a skirt." And I stopped working with him. Yes.
Whoa.
But then after a while, I was more mature and I knew this was happening and it's going to happen. And I would just laugh at it. Okay, we all agree I'm beautiful. Let's move forward now. Let's start working.
It's very interesting.
Just, you know, put it in their face and so you can walk forward.
Yeah. It's a very interesting time because the men that were very chauvinistic or the men that had very rude behavior or comments are the men that have to be very careful right now, especially in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like I very much believe in karma. And I think in business, a lot of people are having their comeuppance because they've got away with certain behavior and comments for such a long time. Mm-hmm. And I do feel sorry for men right now because I just think the slightest comment or a little touch on the arm. I happened to be at a restaurant and I was on a table of about 10 people. And one of the people on the guys on the table actually put one hand on the waitress very innocently because he's innocent. But the way that the waitress jumped, it was like, you can't do that in this town now. So wow. Men have to be very careful and the slightest word or the slightest gesture can be taken badly in this town now. I think it's a very interesting time.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, Sonia, let me ask you this. In the fashion world, do you think it's easier, appearance-wise, for a man to start as a designer or a woman?
Mm. Well, actually, woman, in our culture, in Asian culture overall, to be a man as a designer, it's very difficult. They are kind of taboo.
Really?
Especially they are proud and especially they don't still, it's very hard for them to accept as a, you know, gay and lesbian and all that.
That's very interesting.
But above beyond, I want to just speak about how men superior. One time I had a chance to expose to in China, and I'm Korean, but no offense, it's happening all over Asia. Mm-hmm. They say that I cannot be a president. Man has to be a president.
Hmm. Really?
So my husband didn't like that. He say, okay, he's the CFO and I'm a CEO, but he positioned himself vice president instead of taking my president position away. But they really want men to be head of the company.
Really?
And it's my discovery. It's my design. It's my hard lifetime of learning past 40 years of experience that put down in the life. And my husband is, bless his heart, he's my backstage giant. I cannot do it without him, all the paperwork, everything else. But all the hearts and mind, I'm an A institution. But men said that to in front of me, that I cannot be a president and but men can be.
Wow, we still have so
that's
far to go across the world, don't we?
Across the world, lot more to go.
Yeah.
Here is very sensitive and everybody aware of it. It start radius all over the world. When I was in Paris, I was with my godfather, who is François Lesage, bless his soul, he passed away. Every time I go to restaurant, he'll go to a restaurant next door and he'll make a time and have a lunch with me. And he will just pull out his hand and hit his butt of this host lady. And she say, "Oh, Monsieur Lesage." And then he just walked away. She just walked away. And I know he's older gentleman and they were close, but you don't do that here, USA.
Oh, you can't do that anymore in this town.
You.
No.
And
can't do that.
Exactly, right? So yeah. I was in, I had a plenty chance to, he was trying to sponsor me to stay in Paris and doing a good thing in fashion. I just couldn't understand. And because I'm used to in American culture, I couldn't observe and I cannot understand where I can draw the line. So I came back. That's part of the reason I went back to my own school and did it again, you know.
Sonia, just so that I understand what you're saying is that in China and some of the other countries, that a woman can't be president of a company. That's just a kind of a traditional type of thing, but it's not a legal type of thing.
I don't think it's a legal type of thing because I have one of my dearest friends. She owns a very big company after she divorced her husband, runs a very, very big company from big computer digital line of company. And I don't think it's legal illegal to be a woman to be president, but it's just proud things.
Cultural.
And I'm running into some gentlemen that I've been working with. I have been through so much evasiveness that were not treating me well. And it's a superiority. And I almost got depressed. I had a doctor had to working out. My line wasn't worth it. I am not, you know, the collection that I do, couture, is not valued. There's no value in it. Try to, you know, push me down.
Wow.
And geez. I had a really hard time. And I overcome with it. But the way they do, you know. And then when I was sharing with my friends, they told me, yes, they do. Culture-wise, Chinese culture-wise, that's what they do. Yeah. They put you down.
Wow.
I remember that about Chinese now. It reminds me of that. When I was running the software business with my husband, and at one point we had a Chinese investor. They bought a small percentage, like 3% of the company. And they did not want me or our investor's wife in the meeting.
Really?
They literally told us that we cannot be. But of course, being our company and being in U.S., we said, okay, we are going to be in the meeting.
Jeez.
But we decided to, dress very feminine and all that stuff.
Let me give the phone number out, 1-800-222-5222.
Mm-hmm.
I did it right, Lisa?
Time's up, isn't it? Just obviously not all over the world.
And anybody that wants to call up and ask questions to Sonia, Vera, or Liz or myself, feel free to for the second half. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go away. Sid Levine, The Sid Levine Show, 790 KABC.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and,
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Why won't a plumber just tell me what it costs to unclog my drain over the phone? Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. It makes no sense at all. They obviously have a price.
Whoa, you've got a nice aroma. Who are you?
Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber.
Will you tell me how much to unstop my drain?
$99.
But you haven't seen it.
Don't need to. Doesn't matter if it's a kitchen sink or a mainline sewer stoppage. The Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond will unclog almost any drain for $99.
Almost?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but you can read all about them on our website before you call. Just go to thesmellgoodplumber.com.
Wow, you're like upfront and everything. I just called a guy named Bubba who wouldn't tell me anything.
No Bubbas here, ma'am. Just professional plumbers who show up on time, smell good, and unclog drains for $99.
Call us, 1-800-446-MIKE. Contractor license number 399-170.
Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. The White House is outlining President Trump's plan to combat school violence. The set of recommendations includes helping states pay for firearms training for teachers and setting up a federal task force led by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. Correspondent Boris Sanchez says the president appeared to back away from some changes he had considered before.
In that same meeting that the president had with legislators here at the White House just a few weeks ago, he seemed to back the idea of comprehensive universal background checks. That is not mentioned in these proposals at all. It appears that the White House is taking a few steps back from where the president himself was just a few days after the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School.
KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid to upper 50s. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid 60s to lower 70s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
This is the story of the shaving company called Harry's. In an epic battle of David versus Goliath, in the early 1980s, a child was born. Two of them, actually. Their names were Jeff and Andy. Time went by, they developed facial hair, and one day, something happened. Andy got ripped off buying overpriced razors. So they decided to start their own shaving company and fix shaving once and for all. They hired the best designers. They bought a 95-year-old German blade factory. And they started selling high-quality razors online with no upcharging direct to customers. How did the overpriced razor company respond? By threatening to sue their pants off. Don't worry, Jeff and Andy have plenty of pants and a relentless dream to give all guys a great shave at a great price.
Try Harry's free. They'll send you a razor with five German blades, foaming shave gel, and even a travel blade cover when you sign up. Just cover shipping. Plus, get a free post-shave balm at checkout with code 1919. That's harrys.com, code 1919. To get your free trial set.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's FUN. To 85850.
Welcome back. It's Sid Levine, the Sid Levine Show, 790 KABC. Again, if you want to make a phone call and talk to any of these fantastic guests, 1-800-222-5222. Liz, let me ask you a question, Liz.
Go for it.
The hottest thing going on in TV now is the Johnny Versace
The assassination. I love that show. I think they're brilliant.
What do you think about that?
I've missed last week because obviously I was away in the UK. I love it. It actually focused, I mean, the first episode focuses on Gianni Versace being shot, doesn't it, on his doorstep in Miami. But then every episode since has kind of followed Matthew, is it Andrew Cunnan who was the killer, and kind of his story a year before the assassination. So he actually killed, was it about four or five other people as well?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. And Sonia, you brought up a point how, you know, designers, you know, who the better designers. And Gianni Versace, a few months before, allegedly in this show, wanted to come out as being gay, but Donatella, his sister, didn't want him to come out, thinking it would destroy his career and the celebrities wouldn't wear the brand. I mean, we've kind of, in 20 years, we've come far, haven't we? Because, of course, I think gay designers are some of the best in them. I've got a best friend, Paula, too. He's a designer. And I think they know the women's body sometimes better than us women do.
They are genius. I don't know where I analyze. They are amazing decorator, amazing event planner. Every friend that I know. And when we go their home, beautifully decorated.
Yeah.
Beautifully dressed. They know how to present themselves. But at the same time, I think when gay person who has a mind of cross sexes, understand as a man point of view how woman will be sexy.
Oh.
That makes sense.
That's good analogization, I think. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's very interesting.
And I think that's how they design. It's so seductively beautiful.
Well, Versace definitely did, because if you look back, I remember the first time I ever saw Versace, it was Liz Hurley wearing the safety pin dress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was very young then. but Versace really knew the woman's body, and he just knew how to drape the dresses. And Sid, you like Versace. I know that because I've seen you wear it a few times.
I do. I love Versace clothes. Again, he was a little stocky, as I am, and designers, they always make things very thin and very, you know.
Especially the Italian designers. Everything's kind of tight trousers on the men, isn't
it's
like
so
thin.
Tight. Yes. But he didn't do that, and I could buy some of his clothes when I could afford it.
Are you watching the show?
I am. I think it's fascinating. I think Ryan Murphy's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible. Sonia, let me ask you, who's the hottest designer right now, in your opinion?
Oh, my God. Pierre Balmain.
Balmain? Mm-hmm. Balmain, yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I think the Kardashians also wear Balmain. Everybody's
so cutting edge and beautiful. And I think that young man, he's so smart and amazing.
How old is he?
Probably he's 22 or 23.
No,
I have to Google it. I don't know exactly. But
but early 20s. Wow.
He's so good looking, too, the young designer, yes.
Let me ask you, Vera. We're going all over the place here with all these topics here. The incredible work that you do to help women become successful and become as successful as Sonia and Liz. What's the next step for you? I know you've written a book.
You speak at
lectures and what have you.
Yes.
What do you want to do? What is the next step you want to do?
I have written a screenplay, same title, Unreported. Mm-hmm. But as this is a nonfiction book, it's a, you know, based on a lot of true stories, my book. But my movie, which is going to be a feature film, a murder mystery, it's based on the book, based on same stories. Some of the same stories are, you'll find there also, and some of other real stories, which I didn't put here, are there also. But it's kind of a historical fiction to make a point that what domestic abuse can do and still make it interesting and dramatic and action and all that stuff. And that should come out by the end of next year.
I'm hoping
to start casting and shooting by September.
Wow. So the next move is making the movie.
Making the movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, as you know, I do mediation work. It's all about, you know, getting out of the anger and the fights and finding a resolution and finding power, finding your own voice, finding your own personality and, you know, doing something with that.
If a woman is listening right now and she wants to reach out to you, how would she do that?
She can even call me. She can call me and or she can email me. Email is probably the best. You can call
email
me at veeraisit@gmail.com.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Or they can contact me and I can get them in touch with you as well.
Yes, yes.
And so let me ask you, Sonia, your school, I see all these students, young kids young adults trying to become the next Ralph Lauren or the next
like stars.
Vera Wang, stars, whatever. Yes. What is it here? Somebody comes to your school and they have high aspirations. Obviously, they love fashion and they want to get into this and get going here. How I would suspect, I think I know the answer to this, but how difficult is it for a designer to get going today?
I don't think it's difficult if you really love it and you're born for. Mm. That's what who we selecting them when they're 5 years old, what they were doing that. Mm. They're playing with a Barbie doll or they cut it out and making it, and they are born for each human being born for about 700 whatever they can do and the talent. But 7 to 8 that you can develop through the, you know, family and parents can develop them or themselves. But there's something in them that they have to love it. And they're going to overcome difficulties if they really love what they wanted to do.
How do they get started as a designer?
Well, first they desire. A lot of teenagers, our prospective students are from a high school student or some other. There's no age limited, by the way, in fashion. Mm-hmm. No retirement. But whoever really wanted to do, desire to do, and they come around and we make them write it their visionary in 10 years from now on what they want to be. Mm. And we have them create their mood board. We don't make them draw any drawings because they end up going somebody else to get help. They are come to us to learn. So we want them to make sure that what they're born for, who is their favorite designer. We make them write their ultimate, what is their ultimate goals, which is a key point. And we ask them what they were doing when they were 5 years old or 6 years old when they were a kid. Mm-hmm. And we can analyze. So they come and we target them, their favorite designer. We analyze them, their characteristic of their favorite designer, and we go from there.
Mm. So when I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just really fascinated. I mean, Sonia, you sit there and it's so obvious that you live and breathe fashion. So it must be easy to spot it in another person. And I think it's very similar with acting, isn't it, Sid? Like an actor really has to live and breathe into the point where they'll be unemployed, they'll work for nothing, they'll put their reels together, they'll invest in themselves.
Indeed.
So my question for you tonight is, you look amazing. I love what you're wearing.
You.
Talk us through the outfit that you've got on.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't want to tell you my age. I became 28. Stop growing. Stop aging.
2 years ago.
Yes. I stopped, You know why I'm talking like a British? Because you talk like a British.
Because I'm British, funnily enough.
I'm getting adapted of how you're talking. So thanks to you, my language is a little bit sophisticated. Anyway, I tried to maximize my asset. A lot of people tell me I have a good leg and show my bust line. So, and the designing point is, however you burn your body form is, there's a way to you can make it much more beautiful. And in our design system that we make them grow their eye levels of elegancy, we can train them by learning. It's not in the textbook, but we can do that. So I try to make it myself always looks good, and I know what to cover, how to raise my waist or doing such a way to looks good. So it's about where I'm cutting how I design, and then I go from there.
Well, I definitely think you're one of the most elegant, striking women to walk into a room.
Thank you.
You definitely turn heads, and I love the embroidery or the embellishment on the outfit.
Yes, embellishment. That's
beautiful.
Great way. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your kind words.
How do we find you on Facebook or Instagram so people can see what you're wearing if they're listening?
Yes. Facebook is Sonia Ette. Sonia, first name Ette, E-T-E. Or Instagram is Sonia Ette _ couture.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see my dress that I wear today.
Did you design this?
I made it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I created myself. And I sew myself too.
How long would something like that take?
Because of the embellishment, you know, sometime while I'm teaching, when I'm not doing another project, and I get on it sewing embellishment, you know, that takes a long time. It's a lot of handwork. But making pattern, I can do in sleep. Design, I can do in sleep. So, wow. So it's matter. So, and I love it. Thank you for your compliment. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. That's quite a talent.
So if you ever wants to come, and I'd be happy to special make it for you.
Well, I had two first loves when I was a child. One was fashion design and the other was ballet. And I didn't go into either.
Oh, but you look so beautiful.
Thank
you. You had your beauty.
Thank you.
Wow. So let me ask you, Vera.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the screenplay goes.
Yes.
You're going to make this screenplay.
Screenplay is already written. We're just doing the last minute fixes because we are already picking which actresses and people we want them to.
Who do you want to play?
I can't say that yet.
Can't say it yet?
I can't say that yet. All right. Yeah.
I was just who you want, not who you know.
No, one of the main roles, I was just talking to my director, I would like to see if someone like Angela Bassett can come. So we're thinking someone like that. That's our cop. And she's just finishing her series, The 911.
Oh, that's
and
such a good show.
She looks really cute. She looks powerful. Yeah. She looks beautiful. And she's strong, and that's the kind of police officer we have.
Wow. Yeah.
Is she the EP on 911? I think she may be.
Yeah.
I think she
can be funny, too, and she can be strong.
She did years and years ago. It's very interesting because she did years and years ago the movie about Tina Turner.
Mm. Oh,
and when they were married to Ike. Yeah. You know, Ike and how he treated her.
And she was just in the Black Panthers.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, oh,
right.
She was amazing.
Mother, yeah.
I haven't seen that film yet.
Oh, you have to see.
Oh, she looks totally the Black different. Panther.
I missed so many films. I want to see Red Sparrow. I missed 50 Shades. Anybody see that one?
No. I have no interest in that. But I, Tanya was really good. And
I saw iTanya. I saw all the, I saw all the screeners. So everything that was up for nomination, I had those DVDs. So I saw all them, but I haven't seen much in the movie since. But I just signed up for Movie Pass. Anybody know what that is?
No.
You pay $10 a month and you can go to the movies anytime, any film.
Oh my goodness!
No, you're kidding.
I don't know how they're making money, but it's $10 a month.
Special theaters or any theaters?
Certain theaters, but I'm lucky enough the Grove is in that one.
Wow. So let me ask you, Vera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all kidding aside here, I mean, domestic abuse, there's verbal domestic abuse and there's physical domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. There's domestic abuse by neighbors and friends and people that you, relatives, the people that you know as well. And it's of every woman I've ever spoken to, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To get out of that.
Yes, it is. But if you just feel and you believe that you deserve better and you take that first step, it's somehow so wonderful how universe just starts putting things in place for you. Mm-hmm. Like when I was going through divorce, somehow I made all kinds of friends. Either they had just gone through it, or they were going through it, or they were thinking of going through it. And then I had all different levels of support. Wow. And now recently, like, my mom died, which is not abuse. But all of a sudden, I'm meeting all kinds of people who have lost someone very close to them, someone close to their family, like you told me. And it's just you get so much support. And you just have to know that I deserve better. I need support. And the universe is there to support it. It's almost like that you demand that of the universe, and the help just comes. You just have to be willing to go get it. And
also,
do it.
So like being open and talking to people.
Yes,
and
yes.
I have a question about domestic abuse. Is it something that escalates, or do you think people that are the abusers will always abuse? And what I mean by that is, surely you can be in a relationship and you start niggling at the other person and the other person starts niggling away and then you start speaking to each other worse and then you get insults and then it grows and escalates. So is domestic abuse something that gets out of control and can be nipped in the bud early?
Yes.
Or is an abuser always going to be an abuser? Like,
it can be nipped early because my ex, who never admitted to it, but I thought, my theory was, he's bipolar. But he did not want to take care of that, whatever the issue was. He was just always right, and you couldn't question it. Otherwise, he was amazing some days, and then all of a sudden, he could be so brutal that you wanted to die. And so if there was some interference that somebody helped or he asked for help, or if I stopped accepting it, there had to be some change. So that's why I do blame victims also, because we, at some point, at some level, we accept it.
So you enable it to get worse?
Yeah. If we didn't accept it, if there are no consequences, in a cycle of abuse, there's an abuser and there's a victim. If you can't remove the abuser, and we focus, everybody focuses on the abuser, on the perpetrator, to stop, to do something. Why is he hurting me? Why? Why are you accepting it? So in the cycle mm-hmm. of abuse, if you remove the victim, so that is a very, very important part in my book. The V in, I'm saying domestic abuse is an unreported crime, and learning to live, L-I-V-E, is a journey. So L stands for loving yourself. That is so important to know that this abuse I'm not going to take. And I is for insisting on freedom. You cannot just once in a while make a big deal and then be, okay, I'll take it for next 6 months, and then you fight or you tell someone, but then you keep taking it. And V is the victory over the victim syndrome. Mm. You have to believe that I am not going to be victim. Then you're not just not a victim of that person, like your husband, your father, your brother, whoever, your mom. A lot of times moms are emotionally perpetrators, they're abusers. But once you believe I am not a victim, then you're nobody's victim. And that is what you have to be. You have to get past that victim
syndrome. How do you
syndrome.
Get that courage? How does a woman get that courage?
In by believing I deserve better. If you believe I deserve better, then you will.
I think it's, I mean, I don't have children. So for me as an individual, if I was in a relationship that's domestically abusive with me, I'd probably hit him over the head, right? And I'd leave. Yeah. So for me, it's very easy. Like, freedom is my middle name. But if you have children, I think that's where it becomes very difficult, right?
Yeah, in some ways. I was ready to leave many, many years ago. But then he threatened to take my children away.
Yeah.
And I became afraid. So I stayed. And now, in some ways, in actually a very clear way, I gave him permission because he thought, wow, now the anger is working. So the reasons that I was going to leave for, that became minor. Now I didn't want to lose my children. And the anger, and so the things started becoming worse, and the more I took it, and when I now not leaving, and actually in the divorce, he said he thought I'll never leave. Because no matter what he did, I ended up staying because I didn't want to lose my kids.
Do you think he knew how to control you? He knew how to manipulate?
He
to
knew
get you
that
into
this
victim
was working.
Mode.
Yeah.
Okay.
He knew that anger was working on me and the fear of losing the kids was working. So my love for my children was kind of, he was using that to keep us all hostage. And if I didn't leave, my children couldn't leave. So we were all kind of stuck in that.
It's very interesting. You know, I'm a beauty queen, so we always talk about world peace, right? But sometimes you can't even have peace at home.
That's true.
Oh, it starts, everything starts with small things. Charity, like they say, starts at home. And teaching your children you deserve better. Nobody gets to talk to you like that. Now I teach mediation at a middle school I was telling you about. And that's what I teach the girls. That's what I teach the kids, that nobody gets to hurt you. Nobody gets to abuse you. You become powerful now. I mean, in some ways you say, if somebody hurts you, you have to kick ass back. You cannot let that happen. You got to tell someone. You got to tell them first. Of course, we don't want to use violence. We don't want to start hitting people. But you have to put a stop to that. And that right from there, the children learn. They're learning at that stage, for one, how to resolve disputes.
Bullying too.
Also learning, I'm not going to accept this.
Yeah.
And
root.
So they'll become better citizens when as they grow.
The fear and the root of it is the violence. Am I correct that you appease the person so they don't flip out on you, they calm down because you're afraid that violence could happen from that?
Right. Even at kids' level, that's why the bullies get away with things, because they're using violence and they're using the threat of violence.
Right.
I will do this. So the fear
controls
you.
You
have to get past that fear.
You
cannot be living
that.
In fear. Yeah.
And that's not easy.
Yes, but if you're taught early enough, like we're teaching at school right now, that's my main job. And so that's making children more stronger, more empowered. They know there are other ways to deal with it, and they know there are other places to go ask for help. So you don't feel helpless. There is support, even domestic abuse. Most people think, what will I do? There is support. No matter what city you are in, you can look up. There are centers, and they will guide you, if not nothing else. They will show you how to get out. So wow. You just have to want to get out, and then there is support. Call me. I'll tell you. I'll help you. I'll put you in That's contact amazing. With someone.
Yeah. So, Vera, what you have done is you were the person that took all that abuse for years and years and years and finally stood up,
yep.
got the divorce,
yeah,
and now you're on your own and you're living life. You're living life the way you want to live it.
Yes, that's the best part.
Does it affect you in if you wanted to date a guy or is that?
Yes, yes.
Is that very difficult?
It is because people see me as, I mean, some people have said, there's nothing I can give you. Most men, they want to take care of you. They want to give you something. And just enjoy the happy days with me. There are enough happy days. And, of course, then you start supporting each other on the bad days, too. And that's what you're supposed to do in a relationship. But my main goal is I want to enjoy my happy days with someone. Mm.
Sure.
You know, I'm not looking for someone to take care of me. And I think some men, they get a little intimidated. They don't know what to do, how to give me something.
So we have about a minute and a half left. So, yeah. Sonia, I want to thank you so very much for coming tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Being a guest here on the show. And again, if somebody wants to get in touch with your university, how would they do that?
It's www.bhdi. It's called Beverly Hills Design Institute. So www.bhdi.edu.
And they can get all the information.
Yes.
And they set up an appointment to see you.
Absolutely.
And your husband.
Yes.
And they take it from there and start their career as a fashion designer.
One of the best.
That's all. And Vera, yes. Why don't you give your email out again in case somebody wants to get in touch with you.
It's my first name, 2 E's, VeeraIsit. It's VeeraIsit@gmail.com.
That's so great. Liz, welcome back.
Thank you.
Wonderful to have you back. Everybody have a fantastic week and stay dry. And March is here and we're in spring and this is going to be a really, and the clocks are ahead. Thank goodness.
Yes,
I love that when the clocks are ahead. All right, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Yeah. It's Sid Levine, the Sid Levine Show. And have a great week, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
This show furnished by Sid Levine.